It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kara Pace. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely morning, and we do hope you can spare us an hour of your time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so that's what we're looking for. We think you'll enjoy it, and we think you'll want to get involved, and those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or we have a toll-free number. Yes, we really do. That's 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Also want to give you an opportunity to connect with us via email. We prefer that you call because we enjoy talking to you so much. But if you want to email, that's fine too. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. Thanks to Joanne. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be very much appreciated, especially by us. And again, so the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We are waiting for your calls. We really would like to hear from you and hear what you have to say. We don't wait to the end of the show. We don't want to lose anybody on that. So give us a call as soon as you can. If you have a question in mind, or if you want to answer one of ours, we'll be giving them out momentarily. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. After a week in Florida, Kara Pace truly appreciates how beautiful a day it is here in the Bay Area. So you were, were you near the alligator Alcatraz?
No, I was not. I'm actually not even sure what that would refer to.
There's a plan. The Florida Attorney General has a idea to make a so-called alligator Alcatraz out there for those terrible, terrible immigrants who do nothing to anybody in the United States, but they want to take them away.
The ones that they keep picking up at work?
Yeah, those ones.
The ones who are taking care of children. But are these, they would create an island with alligators on it as a prison?
It's more a island in the middle of a swamp.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah. There you were there.
I'm glad to be back. Welcoming the summer solstice at 7:42 last night, Lori Fisher realized that it was indeed summertime, but the living these days is not always easy. He is unlikely to even notice whether the fish are jumping, but he hopes so.
I do. And while yesterday may have been the official longest day of the year, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, feels that any day he reads the news could qualify.
Yep.
Was that true? Yeah.
And now that that's over, we're going to begin the questioning with Kara Pace.
Okay. I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a list question. So here is the lead-in. Graduation season is wrapping up. Here's a question on a song associated with such events. Edward Elgar premiered the first and most known of his Pomp and Circumstance marches in 1901. He got the phrase Pomp and Circumstance from what Shakespearean work?
Was it Midsummer Night's Dream?
No.
Oh. Well, then Dana will know.
No, well, aren't you the Shakespeare expert here, Guy?
I doubt even if among the three I am, but I took my shot, which has a wedding in it and stuff in it. Yeah, but
I tell
Dana
you
will
what.
know. Yeah.
We can leave that out for the audience.
Okay.
And I will just go directly into the list question, which is this.
Okay.
I am going to give you the name of the author or an author, mostly authors, and the name of one Shakespeare play. You tell me the author's work whose title comes from that play. Okay. The first is John Green. And the Shakespeare play, John Green, Julius Caesar. Sorry, I forgot my own premise. John Green, Julius Caesar. Number two is Eva Phiges, Antony and Cleopatra. Number three is John Steinbeck and Richard III. Number four is Stella Gibson and King John. Number five is Vladimir Nabokov and Timon of Athens. That's for you, Laurie. I know that Timon of Athens is your favorite. Number six is Agatha Christie and Hamlet. Number seven is Terry Pratchett and Macbeth. Number eight is Ray Bradbury and also Macbeth. Number nine is Aldous Huxley and The Tempest. Number 10, David Foster Wallace and Hamlet. And just for fun, wow. Number 11, not a book, but Orson Welles and Henry IV, Part Two. So just going through them real quick one more time. John Green and Julius Caesar, Eva Phiges and Antony and Cleopatra, John Steinbeck and Richard III, Stella Gibson and King John, Vladimir Nabokov and Timon of Athens, Agatha Christie and Hamlet, Terry Pratchett and Macbeth, Ray Bradbury and also Macbeth, Aldous Huxley and The Tempest, David Foster Wallace and Hamlet, and finally, Orson Welles and Henry IV, Part Two. That one is not the written word.
Well, I'll save the Timon of Athens for Dana. The John Green book, Julius Caesar, is The Fault in Our Stars, I believe.
That's correct. The Fault in Our Stars, 2012.
Steinbeck is The Winter of Our Discontent, I believe.
Yes. John Steinbeck is.
So a question here. Did you say Stella Gibson?
I did say Stella Gibson.
Stella Gibson, a fictional character?
No.
She's the author of the King John book, is that it?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Because there's a, no, it confused me, because there's a Stella Gibson who's a fictional character of Gillian Anderson played. I just thought if there was some relation to that.
The Aldous Huxley Tempest book, I believe, is Brave New World.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
I've forgotten where we were. And keep going. If you just repeat, let me see if I can pick up one here. Go ahead, Gira. Just run over the list here once more.
Sure. Eva Phiges, Antony and Cleopatra, Stella Gibson, King John, Vladimir Nabokov, Timon of Athens, or Timon, whatever. What have we decided on that? It's Timon.
It's Timon. I thought it was Timon.
Okay, of Athens. Agatha Christie and Hamlet, Terry Pratchett and Macbeth, Ray Bradbury, also Macbeth, David Foster Wallace, Hamlet, and Orson Welles, Henry IV, Part Two.
All right. I'll get the David Foster Wallace. And the Orson Welles.
It's War of the Worlds, right?
Oh.
No. No.
Oh, I thought that title came from Henry IV. Okay.
The Orson Welles. We're talking about Chimes at Midnight?
That's the one. 1965's Chimes at Midnight.
Yeah, that's very funny. Okay. Yeah, I'll get the David Foster Wallace in a minute. Then I have to think about that. Okay. Great. Good. And Laurie, why don't you go ahead, too?
I was going to switch, but I'm going to stick with my literary question. It's quite different than Kira's, but involves some classical literature. This is a literary murder question. I'm going to give you the name of a character. I might give you the name of the work, and I want to know who killed that character. So if I said Desdemona, you would tell me it was Othello, and if there's a bell, you'd get a bell. So I have eight of them. First one is a great work of literature, Cock Robin. So who killed Cock Robin? Number two, Polonius. Number three, Jay Gatsby. Number four, Richard Cory. Number five, Elizabeth Lavenza. Number six, Grendel. Number seven is Macbeth, the previously mentioned Macbeth. And number eight is Piggy, and that's the only one I'll mention in the book, and it's the Piggy in Lord of the Flies. So I'm looking for Cock Robin, Polonius, Jay Gatsby, Richard Cory, Elizabeth Lavenza, Grendel, Macbeth, and Piggy from Lord of the Flies. I'll give you, there's eight of them, so two right each.
God.
So the Richard Cory, the one by, is that the poem by Edward Arlington Robinson?
It is.
That's the, Richard Cory kills himself.
He does. Richard Cory was killed by Richard Cory. Very good. Right. Give yourself a, we have the bell today. Let's hear the bell. Okay.
And I'm sorry, could you run or do you might as well do the list once
yeah.
more?
No, before you do, I'm just going to take that low hanging fruit of Polonius.
Yeah, who's Polonius?
Stabbed by Hamlet.
He was indeed. Very good.
Okay.
He was behind the curtain at the time. Joanne also got that one. So what we have remaining is Cock Robin, Jay Gatsby, Elizabeth Lavenza, Grendel, Macbeth, and Piggy.
Piggy.
Yeah.
Piggy from Lord of the
Lord
Flies.
Flies.
Yeah. I almost said Lord of the Rings, but I don't think Piggy was in Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Flies. And Joanne has half of the Jay Gatsby, was killed by the auto mechanic whose name she forgets. So if you remember the name of the auto mechanic in Gatsby.
Was it Tom?
That's Tom. You're thinking Tom Buchanan.
Yeah, I was.
What's his name? George Wilson.
That's it. Very good on George Wilson. Tag teamed up.
He thought that Gatsby was the man who killed his wife, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, wasn't that it?
Yeah. And it was Daisy who was careless, but he blamed Gatsby, I believe.
Right.
All right. Kira, you have one more?
No, I'm actually trying to, first of all, I'm trying to remember literally any other character name from Lord of the Flies, a book I've read twice.
well, as soon as
I
you remember
nobody
one.
But Piggy, but I didn't remember only one character murdering him.
Well, I reread the passage and it seemed that one character threw the brick, that there might have been a kind of a mob scene.
Yeah, that's the mob scene's what I remember.
Yeah,
but
one character launched the brick that did in Piggy, I'm afraid. If you remember him. Well, our listeners will know.
Yes, ninth grade was too long ago.
So we're looking for Cock Robin, Elizabeth Lavenza, Grendel, Macbeth, and Piggy. And we'll leave the rest out there. Unless
all right.
Joy.
Okay. Let me think for a minute. No. The sparrow is the one that. Sparrow's not the one that killed Cock Robin. The sparrow is the one that said who killed Cock Robin, I think.
The sparrow said the sparrow himself with his bow and arrow. So that is correct. Cock Robin was killed by the sparrow with the bow and arrow. All right. So that's half of them. We're looking for four more. Great.
Great. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. If you want to join in, please do. We'd love to have you with us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Can you hear me okay? All right. Listen, I saw a publication recently by The Ringer magazine with the 100 best moments of the quarter century. And it mentioned what athlete in the last quarter century has the most streets in the United States named after him. I'll give me a hint, it's a male.
What about Joe Frazier?
Frazier Avenue? No.
Okay.
That's an interesting choice, though.
Okay. I really want it to be a boxer.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. You said athlete. It is a human athlete, right?
No.
It's not a human athlete. Is it Secretariat then?
Exactly. You got that much quicker than I thought, but you may not know this. How many foals within, let's say, five did Secretariat have?
How many foals?
How many foals? He sired how many puppies?
Yeah.
No, they're not puppies. Foals. Foals.
Well, they do a lot, right? Go
so
ahead,
have, has it already been presented on the show, the very fun fact that every horse that ran in the most recent Kentucky Derby was related to Secretariat? Has
that
been discussed
here
yet?
Because you answered my third question before I even asked it.
Did I pre-call that? My apologies. So I was trying to work backwards from that, but that actually didn't help at all.
So these would have been like...
The Kentucky Derby this year, they were all the fourth through the seventh generation of his foals.
Wow.
Okay,
and so we're still looking for how many... that are
how
direct descendants.
He was out to stud for 10 years. Or he
okay.
Was
I'll start with the bidding here. How
ahead.
About 80?
80, that's not within five. Laura?
I'm going to say in 10 years, he's got to do more
within
than
five.
80.
Within five.
Yeah. Well, it's usually a 10% rule, but we're not going to get it anyway. I'm going to say 250.
No, it was 645.
Well, you didn't give Dana a chance. That,
approximately
Dana,
60 years. Okay, Dana, I have one last question. Okay.
Yeah, and I was going to say 645. what's that?
Well, he has more than Elon Musk. But the thing is that Katy Perry recently went in space with other women. And what infamous quote did she say as she came back after she returned?
Infamous quote.
Oh.
Katy Perry can be a little on the self-reverential side. So
She's having fun. She's having fun.
Was it a line from one of her songs?
No.
Did she say the experience is almost as good as one of her concerts? Or I don't know.
No, it's actually a quote. Is it also Shakespeare?
No, it's not at all Shakespeare.
Okay. But it's what she said when she kissed the earth, right?
Yes. Oh. Well, she commented to the press after the all-women flight to outer space. I think it lasted 17 minutes.
No, I do not know.
Okay. She said, we're putting the ass in astronauts. Katy Perry-ish.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you get a bell for getting the answer to my question before I even ask the question.
How many streets are named after Secretariat?
Secretariat, 247. And
streets? No.
Yes, and 28 are in California. You can check that. It's on The Ringer. 100 best sports moments in the last quarter century. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll have to look for that. I haven't heard of any. All right. We have some emails here. Peter is wondering, and I think he's right, is that Grendel was killed by Beowulf or otherwise.
That is true. You know, that's the way it went. Yeah.
And yep. David Foster Wallace, the Pale King. This is from Benjamin.
David Foster Wallace? No.
That's your from Hamlet? No?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
All right. Leave that out. All right. We have some lines open, I am told, reliably. And so if you want to give us a call, that would be great. I'm going to give you a question momentarily here, but give us a call as soon as you can. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let me give you a few questions here. What is the most populous landlocked country not on any sea or ocean? I guess that's why they call it landlocked. So what is the most populous landlocked country in the world?
Ethiopia?
What'd you say?
Ethiopia?
Ethiopia is correct. All right. Okay. Women outlive men in every major country in the world. So I see what my future is going to be. Women outlive men in every major country in the world. What two European countries have the longest life expectancy for both men and women?
So you're looking for a total of four countries, two for men and two for women, or are they the same country?
No, the same country. Same countries. So I'm looking for two countries. Women outlive men in every major country in the world. What two European countries have the longest life expectancy for both men and women?
So this feels like Scandinavia. So I'm going to start with Finland.
No.
Okay.
What about Mediterranean diet and Italy?
No.
Okay.
So, I'll try. How about Vatican City? That's usually...
No.
All right. They live a long time.
All the women in Vatican City.
Well, the two who are there but live a long life, yeah.
Women outlive men in every major country in the world. What two European countries have the longest life expectancy for both men and women? So looking for two countries in Europe there. All right, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked a question about the United States and where it gets most of their specific products, what countries they get these products from. Kira, you weren't here, but so I have a list of products, and I want you to tell me the countries in the world that the United States gets the majority of these products from. Okay. Number one, rolled tobacco. Number two, coconuts and Brazil nuts. Number three, flower bulbs. Number four, rubber apparel. Popular right now, I think. Number five, tapioca. Number six, live pigs. So again, what countries, and they're all different countries, what countries does the United States get the majority of these products from? Number one, rolled tobacco. Number two, coconuts and Brazil nuts. Number three, flower bulbs. Number four, rubber apparel. Number five, tapioca. Number six, live pigs. I'll give you each one guess.
What about for rubber apparel, Brazil?
No, not Brazil.
Joanne's guessing flower bulbs for the Netherlands.
That is correct.
Nice work.
70% of flower bulbs come from the Netherlands into the United States.
How about tapioca? How about Indonesia?
Not Indonesia.
All right. I don't know.
All right. So, first question, women outlive men in every major country in the world. What two European countries have the longest life expectancy for both men and women? The United States gets most of these particular products from what countries? The ones we have left, number one, rolled tobacco. Number two, coconuts and Brazil nuts. Number three, rubber apparel. Number four, tapioca. Number five, live pigs. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. So let's talk to physics. What is a Fermi paradox? Fermi, our beautiful physicist, Fermi, had a paradox. What was it about? The answer was one word.
I could not hear question very well. Would you mind repeating that?
Sure. What is Fermi paradox?
Oh, Fermi's paradox. All right.
Yes. It was only one word, three words. Where are they? Do you know what it's about?
Well, I'm sure if the question is where are they, it has something to do with extraterrestrial life, doesn't it?
Correct. Yes, he was very skeptical. He was very skeptical. All right. What about the twin paradox? That's all for
physics. The twin paradox? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Twin paradox. I do not know.
Okay, it's also about physics. So you have twin, and one takes the ship travel to our nearest star, Proxima Centauri, and close to the speed of light. And when he comes back, he's only maybe 10 years older, but his older his twin brother will be hundreds of years older. Do you follow it?
If he's still alive.
Yes.
If he's still alive. Physics is beautiful. Okay.
Because time's...
physics, I love physics more than anything else. All right. Second question. How many U.S. presidents visited Egypt?
Ten.
Two, five, or ten?
Ten is my guess.
Ten it is. Who was the first? It was after his presidency, but still he visited Egypt.
I think it was Grant.
You're right. You're right.
Wow.
You're right.
Very good.
You're right. Right. Yes.
Give yourself a bell.
And you take a bell for sure. Who are the rest? I don't have time. So, you know, people other Franklin D. Roosevelt, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. What a beautiful, beautiful time. We have to bring that good time back. We really need it more, and we need also to pray for peace. Just a very quick question about the Bible, because my question, people love questions about the Bible. What is the most interesting story in the Bible?
The most interesting?
Yes.
do we each get a vote?
Hint. That man had a change of name.
So is this New Testament and Saul to Paul?
No, this is Old Testament. Yeah. His first name was Isaac. What was his new name?
That was his new name. So is this Abraham's killing, being asked to kill his son?
No. This is actually after Abraham.
This is Moses?
No.
Okay.
I made a mistake. Jacob. What was the new name of Jacob? I'm really sorry. Just to get excited to call him you. What? Jacob had changed of name. What is the new name?
Isaac.
No, Isaac and Ishmael was the son of Jacob, remember? No, the son of Abraham, I'm sorry. No, Jacob, okay. Jacob had, have you ever heard of the Jacob ladder?
Yes.
Okay, what was it about?
Oh, I know where you're going here. So you're still wondering where Jacob,
yes.
Jacob was also known as Israel, I believe.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Right.
Beautiful history. Yeah, I get a little feedback from your audience. They love question about the Bible. So that is why. Thank you very much. Always a great show. And please, everybody, please donate to our most beautiful station, KLAW, as well, KQDFM, and of course, KPFA, because we need them more than anything else. Thank you again. Have a very good day. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice of you to get to admit to getting so excited about calling.
Was that the most interesting story in the Bible? I couldn't. It's a little subjective.
My mom once for Christmas bought me an off-brand Trivial Pursuit set or a card set, like expansion pack from a place called Mount Dora, Florida. And in it were just the weirdest questions about Christmas I've ever heard in my life, many of which had no real answers. And my favorite question was, and this was supposed to be used in an actual game, which carol is Santa Claus's favorite? What is Santa Claus's favorite carol?
Yeah.
And the answer to that was he loved them all. That's what that question kind of reminded me of.
Oh, that's a great,
just substitute Jesus's name for, you know, who is Jesus's favorite person? No, he loved everybody equally. That sounds more like a philosophical game, but
yes. It's a paradox. It's like Fermi's paradox or something like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Lori Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Daniel Rodriguez. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. We hope you're enjoying the show. We do hope you're going to give us a call because we'd love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And we actually are about halfway through. So let's quickly go through what we have left here, Kira.
Before I do, I just want to say, I think you said the writer's name was Benjamin. My own non-specificity, I suppose. So yes, David Foster Wallace's Pale King is named for Hamlet, but I was not specific enough that the titles are quotes from the play, and the phrase Pale King is not actually in Hamlet, which is why I said it was not the correct answer. But he is correct that he is named for Hamlet.
All right.
Anyway, so I will give you the name of an author and the name of one of Shakespeare's play. You tell me the author's work whose title is a quote from that play. The ones we have left are Eva Phygis, Antony and Cleopatra, Stella Gibson, King John, Vladimir Nabokov and Timon of Athens, Agatha Christie and Hamlet, Terry Pratchett and Macbeth, Ray Bradbury, also Macbeth, and still looking for the other David Foster Wallace, whose piece is a direct quote from Hamlet.
Okay, Lori?
And I'm looking for these characters were murdered or killed by somebody, and the three that are left are Elizabeth Lavenza, Macbeth, and Piggy from Lord of the Flies, who was killed by a group, but mainly by the rock thrown by this one character who Kira's name, Kira almost can remember. That's what I have.
All right. And I am women outlive men in every major country in the world. I think every country in the world, actually. And what two European countries have the longest life expectancy, for both men and women? Two European countries. The United States gets most of their products, most of these specific products, from what countries? So I'm asking you to come up with a country for these specific products that imports most of them into the United States. What we have left is number one, rolled tobacco. Number two, coconuts and Brazil nuts. Number three, rubber apparel. Number four, tapioca. And number five, live pigs. So here you go. And Peter is wondering if Switzerland is the longest lived country. It is not. And Carlton is wondering if vanilla. Did I ask you about vanilla?
Maybe no, you asked tapioca.
Tapioca. Oh, okay. Well, he said vanilla from Mexico, but it's not. It's not. That's not anyway. I think vanilla comes from
Madagascar.
Yeah.
It does, but he's actually correct. I believe more of our vanilla does come from Mexico. I think that's come up on the show,
because
I guessed Madagascar and then was wrong because it was Mexico.
I have to, I think I asked about vanilla the first time I did this question
with
a different group of a couple of weeks ago, and it was still Madagascar, I believe, at least according to the New York Times. But I'll check that.
We'll have the intern and the fact-checking team check up and let us know. Yeah,
they're on it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Tom in Southern California. How's everybody?
Hi, good.
Hi. Good. Oh, the Bible thing brought up, I probably asked this before, but my favorite Bible trivia is who in the Bible is responsible for killing about a quarter of the world's population?
Oh, this would be which one of Cain and Abel? Who's the bad, right?
Cain kills Abel, right?
It is Cain. Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Okay, and then on the questions, the rolled tobacco, Dana, is that Turkey, maybe?
It is not.
Okay. The Brazil nuts and coconuts, is that Indonesia?
It is not.
Oh, is live pigs from Mexico?
They are not.
No, rubber apparel from Vietnam?
No.
I'm going to keep going. I'm undeterred. Okay. Ray Bradbury, okay, that would be probably Something Wicked This Way Comes.
You get a bell for that one.
Yay, finally. Yay. And DFW is Infinite Jest.
That is also correct.
Yeah. Okay, and then a couple guesses on the European country with the longest men or women. How about Georgia?
No.
No, I know they, back in the 80s, they were a big thing for older, or Sweden?
No.
Nope, nope, okay. And then I got a couple of quick questions that are unrelated. One is about the song, That's What Friends Are For, mm-hmm. which was originally written for a movie and not performed by Dionne Warwick. That was a re-record. So can you tell me what movie it was written for and who originally sang it?
Was this some sort of romantic comedy type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. I don't know. The romance is probably a little less. It's a comedy, definitely. There's some romantic parts of it, but I wouldn't say necessarily it's a rom-com.
Could you give us a year or just a general idea?
Yeah, the early 80s.
Yeah, that sounds about
so
right.
So it was written for and recorded for the movie, but not included in the movie? Is that it?
It's in the movie.
Oh, it's in the movie?
Yeah. Huh. In the movie. It's on the album. I believe it's in the movie, if I remember correctly. And it's a movie by a very now famous director, one of his early, probably first studio movies, first big budget movie, I guess.
So it was sung, did you say it was sung by a man?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but it was.
Okay.
Oh, is it Night Shift?
There you go.
It is Night Shift. Very good.
Sorry, I knew I'd heard it in a movie, and I actually just rewatched Night Shift like 3 months ago.
Is it?
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
we have to sing it.
Yeah, who say was a man?
That what was the singer in the recording that all the people did later as the fundraiser? Were they part of that big group?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay,
so I don't know the Dionne Warwick. Yeah. The re-record? Yeah. Yeah, that I am not sure. I imagine he probably was, but...
I don't know if this is the singer, but I know that Rod Stewart sang that had a hit with that on an album.
There you go. Yeah, it is Rod Stewart.
Is it? Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. It is Rod Stewart. Okay, and then the one other...
He did a pop music, yeah.
Yeah, got it. And then the other one is, what are they of the, recurring... events in the world, what are the three that sell the most tickets?
Recurring, well, the Super Bowl must be one.
No.
Okay. The World Cup?
World Cup is number two with around 2.5 to 3 million tickets sold.
Okay. So it's an event. The Super Bowl is just one event and the World Cup is... many events? Is that the difference? Why it sells so many?
Well, the World Cup is one event, really, but, it's just every 4 years. It recurs every 4 years. I mean, there's numerous.
But there's no venue that holds that many people. They're totaling up.
No, but I mean right? Total, the total event at the World at the World Cup.
So the Olympics?
Each year, each energies? World Cup, the Summer Olympics is number right. one. They sell about, I think the Paris Olympics were about 9 to 10 million. 9 to 10 million tickets.
All right.
And then number three is an annual event. You got the Summer Olympics, the World Cup, and then number three.
It's also a sporting event?
It is not a sporting event.
Okay.
It's not a sporting event, but it happens every year.
And they sell tickets, so it's not like a rally or a Pamplona or something like that either. Let's see.
What no, is it a music festival?
Mm.
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a sporting event. It's not a music festival.
It's not a religious festival, is it?
No, no.
I don't think
for some people it might be, but not in the traditional sense. No, no. And again, it sells about around 2.5 to 3 million a year.
It's not the passion or play or something weird like that, is it?
Ooh, now you're getting closer.
Oh, but it's not religious.
No.
And it's not musical. Okay.
No.
How many does it take place
in the UK,
over?
If that'll.
Is it Shakespeare?
No.
Festival? Okay, I'm just getting.
Does it take place
on music festival? So it's not Glastonbury. Is it something to do with
festival?
It's not something to do with Stonehenge by any chance?
No.
Does it take place over one day or longer?
Longer, over about a month.
Okay.
Oh, Edinburgh Festival Fringe?
Yeah, that's right.
No kidding.
Fringe Festival.
The Fringe Festival gets many tickets? That's impressive.
Yeah, last year they sold about 2.5 to 3 billion tickets for all their events. Yeah.
Good work.
Amazing.
Good question. Yeah, so, it is.
Great. Awesome show. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we do have a couple of lines open here, so please give us a call if you have a question in mind or like to answer one of ours. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We have a couple of email answers here. Peter is wondering if the Agatha Christie book with the Shakespeare reference. With the title is By the Pricking of My Thumbs, which he says is from Macbeth.
No, I specified Hamlet. So it's entirely possible. Oh, I believe Agatha Christie did name many of her pieces for different Shakespeare plays, but this one is Hamlet specifically.
Okay. Sorry about that. And Michael is wondering imports into the US. He says live pigs come from Canada, and that is correct. 99% of live pigs come from Canada into the United States.
Wow. Even with the tariff.
Trump is going to do something about that, I'm sure.
Joanna's guessing on the Agatha Christie Hamlet. Is it Behold a Pale Horse?
That is not the one I have, but I will check into it.
Yeah, I don't think that's from
Hamlet. I don't think that's Agatha Christie. Sure. So there is a book called Behold a Pale Horse. Anyway. And where are we here? Oh, Kira, I think it's your turn. So you'll have a question.
Okay. Sorry. It's a little later than usual, so I'm going to do a different question. That was a leading question. So, okay, how about this? There are 5 cities in California whose names are also the names of capital cities of other states. What are they? And I will add that I'm not counting Sacramento because that is not the capital city of another state. It's the capital city of our state. I am also not counting places like Santa Fe Springs because it's Santa Fe Springs as opposed to Santa Fe.
Well, so, Albany is the obvious one.
Yes. For you, where you are, Albany is probably the obvious one.
So
how about Jackson?
In Amador County, that is correct.
Okay, that's good. Are they Southern California, Northern California? Can you?
Northern.
Northern. Okay.
I think all Northern.
Right. Let's think here a minute.
Trying to run through them. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And are they East Coast, Central? Do you want to give us that?
I don't want to give you any more hints, actually.
Okay. Okay. Go over that once more if you want.
Okay. So 5 cities in California whose names are also the names of capital cities of other states. What are they?
Are these cities? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So far, we have Albany and Jackson, looking for 3 more. And again, not counting Sacramento because that is our state. And I am not counting places that are similarly named, like Santa Fe Springs, but not exactly named.
All right.
Dana, here's a question for you. Does Reno partly go into California? Is there part of Reno in California? No?
Well, Reno's not a capital city.
Oh, that's a good point.
Not,
Per Joanne, a person named David called in to, and I'm assuming that David called in and answered Richmond and not that he is from Richmond, but perhaps both. In any case, Richmond,
nice.
Contra Costa County, is one of the answers. So nice job, David.
All right. Good job. All right.
Yeah, two here in the Bay Area. That's nice.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I'm just trying to get creative with these names. Anaheim. No, that's not cover. Hey, you know, I think I have a good guess. Let me know if this is right. Andorra. Life expectancy?
Oh, no, not Andorra.
Oh, I was trying to think back to that yogurt commercial, and they were all tended to be in elevated countries. Well, anyway, let's go to this, because I, to tell you the truth, I don't know all the answers to this, but I'm curious. I'm gonna let you answer it. Ready? Who? I know the first one. Are you ready? Remember, I've talked about John Tyler last
yes.
a few weeks ago.
His grandchildren, right?
Right. His grandson just died last month. Amazing. 235 years from the birth of one to the death of the grandson. Anyway, but who the next president after him was, what was he the first for? We're talking about Polk. I gave away the answer, but I was going to ask the first president to what? It's a technical thing.
President to what?
To not have any grandchildren?
No, it's nothing related to that.
That's sort of a technical question.
You have to be a little more specific, I think.
Okay, let me fill it in. Polk was the first president to be photographed. The new invention.
I don't know. I don't think he was the first president. John Quincy Adams was photographed, but well, he wasn't in office at the time. But if he would be the earliest person who was president to be photographed, John Quincy Adams. And then,
and then
Tyler was photographed. And yeah, so I think every president.
Lincoln was he not?
Right.
Oh, definitely Lincoln. That was a big deal because the famous photograph. So maybe that was like while they're in office. So that would be Polk.
Right.
So here are the ones I don't know the answers to. First president for an audio recording. Who would that be?
I know. McKinley was recorded speech.
We have McKinley's voice. Okay,
and possibly
what year would
Cleveland or Benjamin Harrison?
What year would Cleveland? I mean, McKinley have been.
McKinley would have been in the 1890s. So in the late 1890s.
Right. He was the last one of the.
As a matter of fact, I've heard a speech, McKinley speech, at some event in the 1890s. So, and possibly Cleveland or Benjamin Harrison before that, possible.
Yeah, I remember hearing something like that. There were people like they mailed out these recordings for people to put on their Victrolas as campaign things. And I think you're right. It was McKinley. And so of course before him is Grover Cleveland.
Yes.
So the next question, who is the first president to be, captured on film?
Dana, you can say anything.
I know correct. McKinley was, because I've seen that's available to look at. And
okay, so maybe McKinley?
Possibly,
Yeah.
He was also the first to ride in a motor car.
Really?
But yes. And yeah, so that's, yeah. Anyway,
what about like speaking and on film? I mean, we have nothing to talk about. Not that it must be before that. Do we have other presidents before FDR saying we've got nothing but fear itself?
Well, Coolidge spoke on film for sure.
Didn't Wilson? Thought he did.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, they have recordings of their speeches, but on film is a different story. I know, right. Coolidge did, because they were experimenting with it at the time. But
who was the first color photograph?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's. A photograph taken in color or a colorized photograph. Those are different things.
No, taken in color.
Yeah, I don't really know for sure. Probably Roosevelt.
Let one of your other color come and fill those things in. Okay, it was right. Fun. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Dana, give yourself a few bells, I would say, on that one. Yeah.
Anyway, we do have a few minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you if you want to give us a quick call. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Laura, do you have a quick question you want to throw in?
I do. My friend Rob Peters sent me this question. Where did James Bond, the character, where did Ian Fleming... how did he get his name? How did he select that name of James Bond?
Bird Book.
Yeah, that's correct. Very good. An American ornithologist was James Bond that he dedicated. I didn't dedicate it. He made it very public. Excellent. That was quick. Okay, here's another one. Also from Rob. Who is the first African-American to have a certified million-selling song? And what song was it?
Belafonte?
No. Before that.
Can you tell us if it was a man or a woman?
Given the time, I'll say it was the man.
Okay. And it was it on a 78 record?
It would have been on, I'm not sure if it was on a 78 or another kind of recording, but it would have been in that era. It was before the 30, you know, before LP albums. Yeah, I won't tell you that. Yeah.
Was it going
to
be like Ragtime?
Closer to Ragtime than Calypso, but not Ragtime.
Okay. And was this person playing a character in the song?
No. It's a very caricature-ish song. In other words, when you hear or see this person perform it, it's a big performance. I've seen it on film, it's on YouTube and all that, and it's sort of an exaggerated character, but not playing like a mouse or anything like that, playing himself. He also co-wrote the song. And just, I'm looking at time here, I'd call it jazz more than anything else.
Is there scat involved by any chance?
Yes.
Is it like Minnie the Mooch?
It is Minnie the Moocher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Moocher, sorry.
And who's the star?
Cab Calloway.
Cab Calloway. It's 1931. Mm-hmm. He co-wrote it and sang it. And if anybody has not seen it lately, it is terrific. There's many versions of him doing it. Maybe even on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was 1931. So I got another quick one, or do you somebody else have
a we should take a call now.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Yeah, this is Connie in Florida. I'm totally lost on all the literary questions, but I have some guesses. I have some guesses for some others. Tapioca, does it come from Japan?
You're reasonably close, but not Japan.
Vietnam?
Not Vietnam.
Okay. Longest country where men and women live the longest. Sardinia?
Not Sardinia.
Okay. And France?
Not France.
Okay. Then I was going to also guess about the roll. Did you say rolled tobacco was one of the questions?
Yes. I was looking for the country that imports the most rolled tobacco into the United States.
What about Colombia?
Not Colombia.
All right. That's it. I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
Thanks for calling, Florida.
All right. See, Michael is wondering, California cities after state capitals. He says there's a Lincoln, Nebraska, and a Lincoln, California. Is that true?
In Placer County, Lincoln, California.
Okay.
Nice job, Michael.
Yeah.
And the highest life expectancy, Jason is wondering if it's Denmark. It is not Denmark.
So. How about Iceland on life expectancy?
And it is not Iceland either. Ooh. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. This is Donald in San Francisco.
Hi.
Concord is the capital of New Hampshire.
Sure is. Course. And it's also a city in Contra Costa County. Nice job.
Yes.
Right next to DBC. Very good.
And I don't know if it was answered yet, but Ray Bradbury wrote Something Wicked This Way Comes from Macbeth.
Yes. I think Tom did answer that earlier, but you can have a bell for that too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. I guess we should sort of kind of clean up here. Kira, I'll start with you.
Okay. So pomp and circumstance comes from a quote from Act 3, Scene 3 of Othello. The royal banner and all quality, pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war. Eva Phiges wrote The Seven Ages. That's a line from Antony and Cleopatra. Nabokov was Pale Fire. Agatha Christie's Hamlet, the one from Hamlet is The Mousetrap. Terry Pratchett, Macbeth is The Weird Sisters. And I kept saying Stella Gibson, so I am sorry about that. It's Stella Gibbons, which I know because I've read this book and it's wonderful. It's Cold Comfort Farm. And I think that's all I have.
What is Cold Comfort? What is the reference for Cold Comfort Farm?
King John. It's a King John quote.
Okay.
And right. Cold Comfort Farm, for those who have never heard of it, is a magnificent book.
I agree with that. I did not know it came from King John. Literary murders. Elizabeth Lavenza was in Frankenstein, and the monster killed Elizabeth Lavenza on her wedding night. So the monster is the answer to that. Macbeth was killed, and I think Joanna posted this earlier, by Macduff, and Piggy in Lord of the Flies in the mob scene was actually killed by Roger. He threw a brick and hit it in his head. Don't know if you remember Roger. He was kind of the ringleader of the Lord of the Flies toughs. And I think that's what I have.
All right. Women outlive men in every major country in the world. What two European countries have the longest life expectancy? That would be Monaco, men 84.6, women 88.6. San Marino, men 84.3, women 87.2. Yes, and the United States gets most of the products from what countries? Rolled tobacco from the Dominican Republic, coconuts and Brazil nuts from Vietnam, rubber apparel from Malaysia, tapioca from Taiwan, and I think we said before, live pigs from Canada. If we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We do hope you'll remember us next Saturday morning. Thanks to our panel. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Nori Fisher, teacher at Davo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, as I said. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.